Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
You deserve the glory and the honor. Though we lift our hands in worship, as you lift your holy name, you deserve the glory. And the honor.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Praise you, Jehoshua. What an awesome God. What a good God we serve. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Yeshua, thank you. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Okay, thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. What an awesome God we serve. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Had a wonderful time with the Lord. And I tell you, praise you, Lord. I believe we're going to have a good program tonight. Thank you, Jesus. What an awesome God we serve, my brother and sister. Praise you, Lord. I've been taken to the wedding, hallelujah, banquet this morning. Praise you, Lord. And I'm going to share what I saw, who I saw, and whom the Lord showed me, who wanted to show me. Praise the Lord, because God knows everything. We know in part. We prophesy in part, says Paul. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Our Lord, our God is in control, and we can always trust him. Amen. And when we repent and we come to him, he's there to help us. That he showed that to me. Praise you, Lord. So before, amen, I go into the wonderful revelation, I want to go ahead, praise you, Jesus, and go into the word of God first. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Amen. I'm in John chapter 21. John 21. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll begin reading there. And then praise the Lord. Praise you, Yeshua. I will go into the revelation. The Bible says in John, hallelujah, 21, verse 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to his disciple at the Sea of Tiberias. And in the way showed he himself. Amen. And the way showed in this way showed himself. And they were gathered together, Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael in Cana in Galilee, the son of Zebedee, and the two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I am going fishing. Amen. They said unto him, We also go with thee. They went forward and entered into the boat immediately at that night, and they caught nothing. Nothing. God knows our failure. We all make decisions. We're going to fail. God knows our failure. Don't you think that God only sees that when you pray, when you fast, when you seek him? He knows your failure too. He knows when you try and you fail. He knows that. He can see that. And he's very well aware of your mistake. Okay? He's not judging you because of your mistake. Okay? When you are trying your best to seek him, to please him, and you still make mistakes. Okay? Understand who Jesus is. He is God. God of love. He is love. And he loves you very much. Okay? And a mistake on your effort to please him and seek him is not going to keep you away from him. Understand who he is and understand his love. Verse 4. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood at the shore, but his disciples knew not that it was Jesus. How many times have we gone through this? Jesus is next to us and we're struggling with things, and we're not aware he's around. Okay? This happens every day to our Christian lives. Okay? It happens every day. We'll make mistakes. We get ourselves in trouble. Jesus is next to us to help us, but we're not aware. Disciple knew not that it was Jesus. Okay? This happened to me this morning. And I didn't know it was Jesus at first when I was taken there. I was taken into the wedding banquet, wedding celebration. And I was inside a building, a place, and I didn't know where I was. The only things I saw before me was a wedding, ready for them to be married, for the bridegroom and the bride to be married. All the table where had these beautiful covering, had flowers, as far as I can see. And as I'm looking at the flowers, I was wondering whether they were real or not. Because you know how people do wedding with fake flowers, right? And it's normal down here. A lot of things that are fake down here are normal. Happens every day. Thank you, Lord. And so I'm looking at the beautiful table, the flower, and I'm wondering if the flower was real. But somehow God let me know, as I was looking at them, they're real. Look closely, they're real. They're alive. Okay? And so I know the light was bright, and flowers need lights. Okay? As I look to my right, I begin to see a lot of people that look familiar to me. As I'm looking closely, some of the persons I could recognize, but it was not time for me to know more about them yet. But one of them sitting not too far from the entrance was Sister Erica. And Sister Consuelo was there. And I'm looking at them. They look young. I could recognize Sister Erica by her hair, mostly, and her face, as Sister Consuelo. But I noticed they look younger. And they were looking at me, smiling. They were dressed in their wedding garment. And the Lord reminded me how he had worked in their lives to bring them there. You know, it's been the work of God. This has not been the work of man, my brother and sister. Shalom, Sister Michelle. And I'm still wondering, am I in California? Am I like in Florida? Try to think where I was. Because I can, yes, the Lord can talk to me. But he was talking to me like he does down here in heaven, in that wedding place. Thank you, Lord. So, yeah, I wasn't sure where I was, but I can see when I saw Sister Erica and Sister Consuelo, I began to rejoice a lot. Like, wow, they're in the wedding. Is this wedding in California where they're getting married and they invited me? I'm still thinking about the place, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. But it will not be too much until I will find out there were other brothers there and sisters that I know here from the Lord Tower. It gave me abundance of joy, my brother and sister, dressed in white,
all that began to remind me, wow, I'm in the wedding celebration. Shalom, the Lord's servants. You know, I'm in the wedding celebration. Wow, okay. Praise the Lord. And so then I see Jesus. But this time I saw him as the groom to be married. But it didn't look like him. He had this clothing. He looked like someone else to me. He made himself. Yes, you were there, Sister Michelle. And he looks to me like someone else. And I see him walking back and forward. And as he's walking back and forward, he comes to me, says, Elvie, follow me. And I said, what do you mean follow you? We're in the wedding celebration. Outside, there's only darkness. It's really dark outside. Okay, I said to him, it's really gotten dark outside. I didn't really want to go outside this wedding. It was too beautiful there. The table was served. I was looking forward to eat, my brother and sister. I just wanted to sit at the table and eat. Okay? Most everybody else was sitting. My sister Erica, Sister Consuelo. Sister Consuelo was standing, Sister Erica was sitting. But they were there in a group of brothers and sisters. And to me, it was like, wow. Everyone looked so awesome. Beautiful dress. You cannot imagine the dress. How beautiful, beautiful. I mean, how can describe the beauty of heaven to things out here to compare? There's no justice in it. You know? Praise your Lord. And so he says, follow me. As we're walking down the hallway to get out the door, I'm still telling the Lord that it was not a good idea to go out because darkness was outside. Things have gotten really bad. And thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm trying to convince him because he's about to be married. I knew in the spirit the bride was in the other room. The bride was ready for him to marry her. And so he's walking out down the hallway. We're both walking down. I'm following him. I noticed there was a giant at the door that I had just entered through into that wedding place. I tried to see this giant, but he looked to me almost invincible. Bible said the invincible God, invisible God, cannot see him. Okay? But the image of him was there. Hallelujah. And he looked so strong and tall. And his right hand was at the door had two doors that you were open to enter, but the door on the left was closed. The only door that was a little bit still open was the door on the right. And that door on the right, Father God had his hand on the doors. But mostly on that door, that was the only door you can enter through. He was closing the door. And the Lord said to Father, my brother and sister, 1 second, please. Give me 1 second. As he asked for 1 second, he still looked. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He says, 1 second. That 1 second in the spirit hit me like lightning in and out. It was like I could see that 1 second. But he said, 1 second, please. He repeated it again to him that was holding the door, who was shutting the door. 1 second, please, he said. Give me 1 second, he said. Please, give me 1 second. He says, give me 1 second. And he granted a 1 second. And allowed the Lord to go in front of me through the door. And I follow him outside. It looked very dark outside. Now we were in the world. It was very dark coming from heaven. But the Lord was walking in front of me. We were in the street, my brother and sister. It's as the Lord is walking in front of me, I'm still telling the Lord, look how dark it is. And Jesus says, there's still light. There's still light, he says to me. There's still a little bit of light, he says. And I said, but it's all dark. He says, follow me. He says, I will go with you to speak with the people, to give the last invitation, he says. Whether they receive it or not is up to them, he says, my brother and sister. Whether they receive it or not is up to them, he says to me. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. It is so close to happen, my brother and sister. The day no man knoweth, I tell you that, no man know the days and the hours. But Jesus is only his Father, and that is so true. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. The kingdom of heaven is like into a certain king. I'm going to continue with the revelation, but I got to read this. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king who made a marriage for his son. He sent forward his servant to call them that were invited to the wedding, and they would not come. Will not come. No. I'm not going. They will not come. Would not come. They were refusing to come. My brother and sister, will not is a refusal. It's a rejection. Okay? It's like someone asking someone to marry and said, no, I will not marry you. That's a rejection. Okay? They're rejecting God. This humanity is rejecting God. Will not come. Verse 4. Again, he sends forward his other servants saying, tell them that I invited. When Jesus was in the building, in this place of the wedding, I say building, it's a place of the wedding. When he was walking back and forward, when he came to me, he said that the invitation was sent out to them to come. But he was hoping that more people will come to the wedding. I mean, the table was so much food to eat, food enough to feed anyone who desired to come. But they will not come. It's like if we have a wedding like that, we say, man, all this food is going to go to waste. I mean, I made food for so many thousands of people, millions or billions, but they don't want to come. All that food is going to go to waste. But in heaven, nothing goes to waste anyway. But he is so loving and caring that he wants these people to come to the wedding. He cares so much for each and one of them. But their refusal, their rejection to him, I can see him. His love, his heart, tear apart for them, as we say. Hoping that they will come to his wedding, my brothers and sisters. Oh, what a loving God we serve. Again, he said to his other servant, tell them that they're invited. Behold, I have prepared my dinner. Dinner, everyone. God has prepared dinner, everyone. Come. Come to the wedding of his son, Jesus. Come, come. Understand who is making the invitation. In this parable, Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like to a certain king who made a marriage for his son. It's Jehovah, Yahweh, Elohim is inviting you and I to come. It's inviting the world to come. The table, the food are prepared. The tables are ready. Everything is ready for everyone to come. Come! How else can God say and ask people to come? My brother and sister. When the Lord said, follow me, I said, oh, no. Is the Lord still want me to continue to call people to come to the wedding? I felt on earth, like, oh, no, he's going to keep me preaching. He's going to keep me telling people, come, come, come. Why me? white meat. There's so many guests there, but he chose me to come and tell people to come to the wedding. And I'm like, oh, man, how long am I going to keep telling people, preaching to the people to come, my brother and sister, that he has chosen me. Praise the Lord. Come. Come. Hallelujah. This is his wedding celebration, and he wants them to come. Praise the Lord. And the random took his servant and treated them spitefully and slew them. How many Christians have been killed for preaching the gospel? But when the king heard thereof, he was rough. He was angry. How can they do this? And sent forth his army and destroyed with murder and burned their city. Every single city on this earth that had killed Christian will be burned, will be destroyed. My brothers and sisters, none of these wicked cities and places will escape. The elements of the Apostle Peter will melt. Trying to melt everything with fire down here. This is why it's time to get out of here. Get out of here. He says to Father, 1 second, please. 1 second. Grant me 1 second to send out the last invitation, he says. Oh, when he said this, oh, the older message was going into me. Oh, 1 second, he said. Oh, you don't know how long I wanted to hear this from Jesus himself. Father was there. Jesus was there. Oh, so excited to hear those words from him. 1 second, he says to Father, 1 second to send out the last invitation. That's where we are right now, 1 second away from the last trumpet to be sounded. You know what the last trumpet means? Israel was given, hallelujah, different sounds of trumpet. And the last trumpet, the sound was the, you have to have your bag, you have to have your tent, you have to have your children, your wife, you have to have everything ready to march. When that last trumpet was sound in Israel back in Exodus, Leviticus and on, people have to move. When God said, tell my people to move, they sound the shofar. That was the last shofar. That was the last trumpet for them to move, my brother and sister. And they needed to be ready for that. The bride right now needs to be ready. We are at the last second, whether people believe it or not. I heard that from Jesus and out. And Father was there. Father was there. This message to me is one of the most exciting messages I ever preached on the Lord's hour or ever on this earth. Because I'm preaching the last second message to people according to Jesus. Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm excited. It came out of his mouth to Father. 1 second, please. Father, I saw Father's mighty hand over the door. And he was shutting the door. My brother and sister. Is this shouting of the door biblical? Well, let's go into the word. I'm not finished with the testimony of what Jesus said to me later on. But this shouting at the door is so biblical, and I cannot keep reading without showing it in the Bible. It has been written as a testimony twice in the word of God, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. And it's in Matthew 25:10. But as they were going off to buy, the bridegroom came. Those who were ready went in with him to the, hallelujah, wedding feast, and the door was shut. I seen twice that door shut. Noah experienced that mighty hand of God closing the door back in Genesis. My brother and sister, chapter 7. Noah experienced the shutting at the door. Okay, Father God is going to shut the door. Shalom, Victory Rider. Okay, Father God is going to shut the door. And he's about to do that. And we better be in. We better be in with Jesus. The bride has made herself ready. It's up to you to pray. It's up to you to fast. It's up to you to consecrate your life to Jesus and spend time with the Lord. It's up to you. We're 1 second away. I mean, to God, a day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day. What is a second in 1,000 year timing period? I believe it's a month, maybe. I don't know. If it's a year, 2 years, 3 years, I don't know. What is a second? 1 second, please, he said to Father. Hallelujah. We're there now. Okay? How many of us wanted to be there? We've been waiting years to be here where we are, 1 second away. Bride of Christ, this is an exciting time. You should be jumping up and down for this message. This is the message that some people wanted to hear for so many years now. 1 second away. Oh, ask the Lord. Take it to the Lord and pray. Say, Lord, are we 1 second away like your son always said? This is an exciting time. This is an exciting time for the bride of Christ. I thank you, Lord. What a wonderful God we serve. Now, I want you to follow the pattern. God, 2 or 3 weeks ago, Father God spoke to me, spoke to the world in that revelation of Father, giving the world 90 days, 90 days to repent and read his word. Okay? That he was going to take those that were already home and that the rest of the world will end up in the great tribulation if they not repent, the sinners that will not repent. Now, that was Father God speaking, okay, to the world to repent. And everyone heard Father God when he spoke to everyone. Now, in this revelation this morning, when Jesus go out the door into this darkened world and I'm following him, hallelujah, he go into the street. And he didn't look like Jesus. He looked like this man. But I knew it was Jesus. And he began to talk to the people in the street. And he said to them, come to my wedding. He said, there was a young couple coming. A young man and a young lady, no more than 19. They look like boyfriends or married. And Jesus said, come to my wedding. And as they're looking at Jesus, they're looking at this man, telling him, come to my wedding. They say, where is your wedding? He says, it's not far from here. If you follow my leading, if you follow my words, it's to the right, he says. That makes sense. If you follow my word, it's to the right. That makes sense to me. Praise the Lord. And then I began to talk to him. I said, see him talking to them. But then come this police officer, my brother and sister, as Jesus is preaching, and I'm joining him in this preaching of this gospel. Hallelujah, because he's giving out the last invitation, he says. He says, I will be with you. Amen. And so as he's preaching and telling the people, come, you know what I remember? Brother Gigi Avila, he was preaching at one time, I think it was in New York City, and in that place there was a pastor preaching to hundreds of thousands of people, and when the pastor was not preaching, he was invited to preach that day. They were doing the worship, and the pastor was sitting there, and he decided to pray. And while he was sitting praying, he kind of fell asleep. And when he did, the Lord opened his eyes, and Jesus comes on the pulpit. He's looking around. Nobody else can see Jesus, but he can see him so clear. And Jesus said, my son, preach my word. Tell them that everything is ready for my wedding, Jesus says to him. Tell everyone, tell the world, tell my people that everything is ready for my wedding. To come in, that their reward is with me, to give to everyone according to their work, he says to him, my brother and sister. But tell them everything is ready for my wedding, that I have sent my servant. But if my servant don't preach my message, I will send my angels. But if my angel will not finish my work, I will come myself and preach my gospel. Don't I say in my word that my gospel, hallelujah, will be preached unto all the world, to a witness unto all the nation, and then the end will come, Jesus said, as he said in Matthew 24 to him. My message must be preached, he says, to the pastor, to the leader. Hallelujah, preach my word to them. Hallelujah. If my people, if my angel don't fulfill my will, I will come myself and preach, hallelujah, my message. Hallelujah, as a witness to all the nation, and the end will come. So I am seeing Jesus in the street, preaching, inviting people. I'm mostly in the beginning, I'm quiet because I'm amazed. God is preaching to men his own gospel. My brothers, you know, it's an amazing thing to see. I'm in the street with Jesus, and Jesus is telling people going by the street, come to my wedding. This couple stopped, and he was telling them, look, come to my wedding. Everything is ready. You can come in and you can enjoy the food. The dinner is ready. Everything is ready. Come in and enjoy it. And as some people began to gather, then came this police officer. I'm looking at this police officer. He looked like a New York City police officer. Then I'm still wondering about his clothing. Okay? Because I'm thinking, is he one of the government police officers? He's just a regular New York City police officer. You know, I'm trying. I can see his badge. I can see his guns. And I'm looking, I'm paying attention to him, and he comes and says, this kind of got it together is not allowed anymore under the law, he says to Jesus and I. This is not allowed after the coronavirus has been passed, that group no more than they can gather together. Huh? My brother and sister, this police officer is Satan in an officer uniform. Down on this earth, my brother and sister. And I noticed that whenever Jesus and I went, Satan will come and remind us of the new law that has been approved in the United States and the world. And he says that the law has been approved. There are no more church meeting, no more gathering together in group. Haven't that been approved already? And it's not allowed anymore. He was telling Jesus and I. And I, you know, Jesus is ignoring him, but the devil's saying he's ignoring him. But I'm getting a little worked out about this. And I'm telling him, like, this is not right, this is not fair, because this is keeping God's servant from preaching the gospel. And Jesus said, ignore him, don't pay attention. Because he's telling us, I'm going to call for backup for you to be arrested, because this gathering, because we were about 8 now, as Jesus is preaching to the people, inviting them to the wedding. We were about 8 people gathering together. They're listening to Jesus. Some got excited. You know, some were getting the information from Jesus. Other people were kind of walking away and going on their life. But this police officer trying to break this group gathering, my brother and sister, that Jesus and I could not more preach to the people in the street. Because now the law has been passed, according to this police officer, which is Satan anyway, that these group are not allowed anymore under the new coronavirus. And what the Lord did to me always opened my understanding. Look, all these gathering that has been blocked through the coronavirus, you know, that this has been the work of Satan. You know, and I'm getting it now. I'm finally getting it, my brothers and sisters. The Satan has used the coronavirus now to get all these things approved with the authority now of suspending church service, church gathering, church meeting. The preaching, they suspect the preaching of the gospel. But God already knew this was going to happen anyway. But he's suspecting the preaching of the gospel. They said that we'll preach unto all the world. So it's like somehow Satan is using the coronavirus bad news to stop the preaching of the gospel, because he thinks he can delay the rapture, he can delay the coming of Jesus, because Jesus said it very clear that when this gospel, hallelujah, of the nation will be preached to all the world as a witness to them, and then the end will come, my brother and sister. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I tell you, the devil is using this coronavirus bad news to stop the meeting of the church, and I was getting all that. As Satan kept speaking and saying, he kept encountering us in every street that the Lord and I went together to witness to the people. Jesus was inviting them, and I was agreeing with him. Yes, yes, come to his wedding. Yes, 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 everything is ready. You know, as a witness, I'm a witness to the Lord. I'm a witness. He said, he did call me a witness one time. A witness, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. But he's given us, he's given the world the last warning. The last invitation for the wedding, my brother and sister. The food was ready, my brother and sister. The table, some table, hallelujah, arrangement was as high as you can see, with beautiful arrangement, my brother and sister, for those that love the stuff. It was incredible. It was incredible. The only thing missing in that wedding are the camera. Are the people that are going to take the photo, are the iPhones and Samsung phone and all that. All those things are missing in that wedding. But everything else were ready, my brother and sister. It was like you can take the most beautiful photo if you could up there, but there was no camera anywhere. And there were no paparazzi anywhere, my brother and sister. But the bride looks the most beautiful you ever seen, ever, my brother and sister. All dressed in white, all dressed with these men would have these beautiful garments. Like, you can't even imagine. You got to see it. Hallelujah. To be like, wow, you'll be amazed when you see it. But he said, 1 second to Father. Grant me 1 second, he said. Just 1 second. Hallelujah. To send the last invitation. Whether they come or not, it's up to them, he says. My brother and sister, this wedding is going to happen when the people are ready or not. He's given the last invitation. My brother and sister, the last. This is the last of the last invitation. It's up to people. God granted 1 second. After that, he's closing the door. He is closing the door. And I got to read Matthew 25 because I got to remind you that you can be wise, but you can also make, hallelujah, decisions that are not of God. Verse 25, Matthew 25 says, the kingdom of heaven at the time will be likened to a bridesmaid who took their lamp and went out to meet the bridegroom. Hallelujah. These bridesmaids are heading to meet the bridegroom. My brother and sister, they're ready to meet him. Okay? They're ready to encounter him. They're ready to go to heaven. But they were foolish decision made. Some of them made foolish decisions that caused them to stay behind in the great tribulation. Five of them were foolish and five were sensible. The foolish one, praise the Lord, took lamb with them by no oil. See, this Jewish translation says that they took their lamb. But the Israel oil, my brother and sister, was not there. In other words, I remember back in my grandmother's house in the countryside, we use oil for our lambs. And what my grandmother have us do with, when she sent me to the store to buy oil, it was enough oil that she would send me to buy that the lamb will last for all night long. If we were in a special holidays, for example, and we had guests, and we were going to stay all night long, you know, speaking with one another, just sharing with one another, my grandmother would send me to buy enough oil for the whole night long. So we had to buy enough oil to fill the lamp, and then the extra oil, my brother and sister, the extra oil I needed to buy to be enough for the whole night, my brother and sister. And I remember my grandmother filling the entire lamp and getting the lamb ready. And at the middle of the night, she would not forget around noon to go and prepare the lamb and make sure the lamb had enough oil. In summertime or in time when the humidity is very low, the lamb doesn't have to work much. But in the time when humidity is high, the lamb will consume more oil, my brother and sister. And it'll need to be prepared, to be trimmed, to be ready, and having more oil than regularly. In the normal season, if the lamb was full of oil, it will last you all night long. All you have to have was the extra oil maybe for the next day. But if it was in a season where humidity will be high, you will have to have that extra oil, my brother and sister. Is it biblical? Jesus said that if it happens in winter, hallelujah, pray that it will not happen in winter. Your humidity is higher in winter, my brother and sister. Pray that will not happen in winter. It's biblical, my brother and sister. The rapture is happening in winter, according to the Bible. Pray that will not happen in winter. When it happens in winter, my brother and sister, the humidity is high. You have to keep your lamb high. What does the winter represent? Difficult time to pray. Difficult time to commit because of the violence, of the evil things that are happening so much around us. There's so much evil, know that. Humidity is high for people to pray. It's difficult. That's how it would represent a difficult time when people are getting even more sick. You get more sick in the winter, usually, my brother and sister. And so people get sick. People get pain in their bones or their body. There's a lot of when humidity is high, you have more chances of getting sick, my brother and sister. And a lot of people going through the love, the Bible said, Matthew 24, will turn wax, will turn cold, my brother and sister. That is a lack of prayer. That is a lack of coming closer to the Lord. Because when you come closer to the Lord, you cannot turn cold. You will turn hot. His presence is heat. His presence will make you burn. He's an all-burning fire, my brother and sister. And as you come closer to him, you will burn like him. You will burn like fire. He'll make you and I burn, my brother and sister. This is why when people tell me that they look worn, that they're backsliding, I remember a brother came to me and said, "Brother, I've been going to church with my wife, but I'm so frustrated. I'm so lukewarm, Brother Obi. I'm backsliding. I know I am." And that pastor, I don't know what he's preaching from that pulpit. I cannot understand what he's preaching. What advice would you give me, Brother Obi? The Lord, and as I'm praying for him, I remember I told him, "Praise you, Lord. Begin to fast with the Lord. Begin to fast with no food and no water. At home, tell your wife, tell your pastor, but begin to fast, begin to, hallelujah, tell your wife, tell your family that you're going to separate yourself and fast and really take the time to just fast and pray with no food and no water and be in the Word, reading the Word, really reading the Word and asking the Lord to change you, to set you free." My brother and sister, after fasting for 2 days, something began to leave him. On that second day, he felt like he had a tower or something over him that was keeping him blind. And all of a sudden, in that 2 day dry fasting, that will had over him, that will make him argue, that will make him confused, that blocked him from understanding, that gave him no willing to seek God, that felt lukewarm, that felt going wax, that love was turning wax. My brother and sister was going away from him. And the third day, he says, "My mind, brother, is so clear. I can hear God so clear. I feel so close to God. I can feel his presence. I feel so close. I don't feel confused no more. It's gone out of me." Praise you, Lord, he says. Thank you, Lord. He felt so awesome in 3 days of fasting with no food and no water, just reading the Word, he said, at home. Praise you, Lord. And his wife and him was always arguing. And he was able to say, "I'm sorry," to his wife and give his wife a hug and all that. Because he had made some comments about her pastor, and she disagreed. It made her mad that he was criticizing her pastor, church that she'd been going for many years, my brother and sister. But they were able to make an amend, you know, get along finally. But it was the confusion, was the evil on his life that was keeping him this way, my brother and sister. Praise you, Lord. I believe if people get into fasting and pray, all this confusion, all this lukewarm will go away with the healing of Jesus. He wants to heal in your life, to remove all that confusion and that nonsense, for you to hear him and know him. May you know the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's so important, my brother and sister. So, so important. The foolish one took the lamp with no oil, where the other ones flashed oil in their lamps. Hallelujah. They finally got some oil in their lamps, hallelujah, and they're moving away. The wise one took oil in the vessel with the lamp, while the bridegroom tarried. Everyone said Jesus is tarried. When is the rapture, Brother Elvie? When is this going to happen? We're waiting for years. You know, when is Jesus coming, you know? Come on. People have been hearing for years about this rapture. Nothing has happened yet. When is it? When is it, Brother Elvie? The bridegroom tarry, he's delayed, other translations say. They all slumber and slept. Hallelujah. But at the midnight, there was a cry. At the midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, what was the cry? When they heard the last trumpet, when they heard the last trumpet, that final trumpet, Paul says, hallelujah. They knew that was the departing trumpet, the last sound, my brother and sister, whether you are ready or not. Thank you, Lord. Behold, the bridegroom coming. Go out to meet him. I believe everyone will hear the trumpet. And this is what's going to really grieve people going into the Great Tribulation. Because they're going to say, "Do you hear the trumpet? Do you hear the trumpet?" Yeah, I did. So what happened? I was not ready, you know. I was really lukewarm, and because I heard people making comments in the Great Tribulation. You know, if the Lord would have delayed, I would have been ready. You know, God knows I would have to work so hard. I had to work two jobs. I didn't really have time to pray or fast, do anything, be in the Word. You know, occasionally when I could, I went to church. But, you know I wasn't really committed. People are going to have to confess. People will have to confess, my brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord. Verse 7, and all the virgins arose and trimmed their lambs. You have to trim the lamb. It's the only way you're going to keep it on. We have to do that. That's what my grandmother did in the middle of the night. By the midnight hour, she got up to trim the lamb. Get it ready. Make sure they had enough oil. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lambs have gone out. When they got up at the midnight hour, by the oil they have was only going to make it to the midnight hour. But in the midnight hour, you don't know when the Lord is coming at the midnight hour, but when in that hour he is coming. And if you have enough oil just to make it, where you're not going to make it, because you got to have enough oil to make it. And when you get up and you tramp, your lamp is going out, you got to have oil because it's going to go out. It's not going to stay on. Got to have that extra gallon of oil to be able to put out some oil into the lamp, or it's going to go out completely. And we experienced that some night. So night and went out. And when we asked, where's the oil? People forgot to buy the oil. We had that problem in my grandmother's house, my brother and sister. So I know this parable very well. I live it in my own life. Okay? So the oil was there was no oil around. No one bought any oil. But the wise answer saying, not so. Let it be enough oil for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. It's a matter of you purchasing oil. It's a matter of you having enough oil. And then once you fill that lamp with oil, the midnight hour, depends, my brother and sister, of the season, especially in the winter, it's going to be very low on oil. And if you have extra oil, you're going to pour more oil into the lamp. And the extra oil you have left in that garland, it's only going to last you for the rest of the night, okay? So you cannot spare any oil. You cannot share any oil with anyone. Well, whoever have little oil or none, they need to go ahead and buy, okay? You cannot share your oil, or you're not going to have enough for you and your children. It's a really bad situation when it gets like that. Really bad situation. My brother and sister, moisture makes that happen. Consume oil. The lamb consume more oil, my brothers and sisters, in the bad season. So you need to be ready for that. And if your neighbor comes, give me some of your oil, you're going to have to say no. And this is the situation they find themselves. Now, what is the oil? The oil is the Holy Spirit. Okay? You have the Holy Spirit. You've been praying, you've been fasting, you've been repenting, been seeking God. Now, someone else has been in sin, who has been backsliding, they've probably lost the Holy Spirit again. Now they come to you, okay? But if you see that the person is foolish, in other words, don't care to sin. That's what foolish is. Don't care to sin, okay? Do whatever. Go to the bar, drink, smoke pot, and whatever. The person behaves this way and comes, give me some of your spirit, lay hand on me. And so I be filled with the Spirit so I can go home in a rapture. You're going to have to sit down with the person and say, okay, your decisions are really poor, are really bad. You need to repent. And if that person gets mad at you, you're going to have to let the person go. You're going to have to make that decision in the last hour. Because here's what we are, my brother and sister. Praise the Lord. We are at the last second. Our decision needs to be wise. At this moment, you cannot be making decisions that will keep you behind. Okay? We cannot. The Lord in heaven reminded me this morning. Our decision right now, he let me know, are very important. Very important. And even show me things in my life that he says, cut, put it behind. Put it away, my son. Don't deal with that. Don't do that. Okay? Show me things in my own life, okay? Why because he showed me that in this hour you and I are in is very dangerous, my brother and sister. And our decision need to be wise. Okay, some people are going to make decision that's going to keep them behind, and they have nobody else to blame by themselves, my brother and sister. Okay, this is important because he was showing it to me in heaven, showing me my decision about certain things in my life. And he specifically showed it to me for me to know and understand that our decisions now need to be wise. They need to be wise. Pray for me, pray for my family, and I'll pray for you also. Our decision need to be wise. Cannot make no foolish decision, my brother and sister. It all need to be directed by him. He needs to guide us. He needs to lead us. Has to be by his wisdom and understanding. By wisdom and understanding, Proverbs said that God created the heaven and the earth and everything in it. You need to understand. It has to be him leading us. But the wise answer say, nah, so let us be enough for us and you, but go rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Notice how it goes from a lamb to being ready. It's about being ready with the Lord right now. My brothers and sisters, if you are ready, you have the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, make sure you stay away from lust of the flesh. Any type of lust, adultery, fornication, anything that will offend the Spirit in your life, the Holy Spirit in your life, stay away. Any little thing, anything that is not of God, you be careful. Because in this hour, I know there are much single sister and brother listening. Okay? Before you marry, you better ask the Lord. You got to ask the Lord. This is the day and hour. And if you're not sure, you better put it in the hand of the Lord and say, if the Lord wants me to be married, I'll be married. Now, heaven. 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 Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's heaven. God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise you, God. Praise you, Lord. What an awesome God we serve. God is making it this way to us. He is about to close the door. And Father God don't play. And I don't mean by saying that Jesus played. I mean Father God don't play. When he says he's going to do something, he does it. And that's it. That's it. That's it. Very important, my brother and sister. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So important. So important. So important that we listen. So important that we consecrate. Praise the Lord. So important you seek the Lord to make any decision of any of the matter in your life. He wants to marry you, ask the Lord. She wants to marry you, ask the Lord. Make sure he is directing you in all your way. Don't make no foolish decision. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. So important. We are in this late hour. Late. And when I mean late, a second away, that's late. Late. A second away to an appointment in heaven. In this late hour, we are so close, my brothers and sisters. We're so close that some people are calculating the time. Don't do that. That's not because some people have dreams, and they go by the dream. Okay? They go by the dream. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm asking Brother Edwin to join me because I was in prayer, and the Lord wanted him to join me tonight. He told me so, and that's why I'm asking. I know he hasn't come in the air, but I want him to come. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you can, only if you can. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But I was in prayer with the Lord. Hallelujah. And I was asking the Lord, who would I invite tonight to join me? I was asking for someone to come and join me. And it was you, Edwin. Say, okay, I'll invite him. Praise the Lord. My brother and sister, praise to God. Jesus is coming. We have a divine appointment. And why did the Lord show me the people that are here tonight? Every single person on the chat room right now, I saw in that wedding celebration. I saw it. I saw it. Everyone. And practically everyone listening too, because he showed me other people in that wedding. And I knew they were of the Lord's Tower. People that I had not seen their faces. The faces that I'm seeing in the chat room, I saw there. But the faces of those that are in the cell phones, I also saw their faces. Then I knew from the Lord was they are the one that listened to you. I saw them in that wedding celebration, standing there in a group. I said, wow, people of the Lord's Tower. To me, it's a joy to have this group of people coming to heaven in the wedding celebration that the Lord showed them to me. My brother and sister, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. I understand if you're not able, but I'm letting you know what happened. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He's so awesome. He's so an awesome God, and he loves you. And don't stay behind for anyone. Don't stay behind for anyone. I know you love your family, your children, your wife, your husband. He knows. He knows how much you care for your family, your children. Pray for them like you haven't prayed for them before. Okay? Some of you are so alone. And I know some of you have children and family. Why are some of your children that are teenager or in their 20s are not, they were not at the wedding celebration? Why you as a mother or as a father were there, but they were not there? Why? Some were with children, some were not with no children. Why? Because your children may not be ready. But don't dismay, because the Lord can save them in the great tribulation. They're not ready for the rapture. But pray that before Father closes the door, they will come in too. You're going to have a serious talk with your children and let them know that you're going home and they may not be coming home. Okay? But you'll be there for them. It's important. You need to let them know the lateness of the hours before the last trumpet sound. The last trumpet means that you have to be ready with your bag, your tent, your children to depart. When the last trumpet sound, you're departing. You're not planning anymore. Okay? There was a trumpet for you to be ready. There was a trumpet when the enemy was coming. Hallelujah. But the last trumpet, you have to be walking already. You have to be moving. You're moving. And in this time, you're moving of a speed you never heard, a blink of an eye. You're billions and trillions of light years away. You need to understand, you're going to be very far from your children in the departure rapture. It's going to happen so quickly. It's not like you can say, Mom, coming, what's my clothes? Mom, what's for food anymore? Once you're raptured, okay, and they're crying for food, that's a different story. Everything is going to change on this earth very soon. So this police officer was telling us how the law would pass. No more gathering, no more church service, no more meeting, no more reunion. These things that you're doing now, no more. Okay, limited to 8, no more. And I can call others to come and arrest you. And the Lord wasn't really paying attention to what he was saying. I was paying attention, my brother and sister. Because everything he was saying was about the coronavirus and the system where we're living right now. And every street that the Lord and I were going through, to invite people for the wedding, there was the devil claiming that he owns everything, that he owns the system. And the Bible says that the whole world is under the evil one, John says, my brother and sister. Why did the Apostle John say that everything is under the evil one? Why did he talk about this earth like this? Because sad to say, but our nation is there, my brother and sister. Our nation is really serving Satan. It's under the complete darkness. Hallelujah. It's under evil, my brother and sister. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says, for I not to be like Cain. 1 John 3:12. But be not as Cain, who was a wicked one and slew his brother. Why did he slew his own? Because his own work was evil and his brother was righteous. Why is the devil looking to hurt people? Again, the same like Cain. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This is evil, my brother and sister down here. Hallelujah. Very evil. Very wicked down here. The Bible says, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we love one another, but not as Cain, who was wicked and slew his brother. Why did he slew him? Because his own work was evil. His brother was righteous. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And then it says, marvel not. In other words, stop watching the Marvel movies. Marvel not. Stop watching the Marvel movies. Because the purpose of the movie is wickedness and evil. My brother and sister, marvel not. Don't watch the Marvel movie. Don't watch them, the Bible says. My brother, if the world hates you, it's hate what they're bringing in this movie. Always one after another. But we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love brother, the brother, and that the, hallelujah, he that loved not his brother abide in death. This is why the devil has set the system after the coronavirus. He's promoting death. He's glorifying death. People are dying at home and in the hospital. And I heard already someone said from the news, because it's already, they already studied this, that in the winter, the coronavirus is going to get worse. I said, what's worse than the last winter? And people staying at home, more people are going to die at home with the coronavirus in the coming winter than the people that die in the last winter. Because the coronavirus began in the last winter, and they were saying that by summer, it was going to slow down. So that means the cold makes the coronavirus hot, my brother and sister. The summer makes it slow. The winter makes it fast and abundant, multiply. The coronavirus multiplies in the winter. The cold weather multiplies the virus, my brother and sister. And I was reading this report, and this really smart person, doctor, I believe, well, scientist, saying this, that for this coming winter, the coronavirus is going to kill more people monthly or weekly than whatever had killed last winter alone. It's going to be much greater because there's much cases. And as people stay home mostly more in the winter, it's going to kill more people in the winter to come, my brothers and sisters. So it's not going to slow down. It's going to multiply. Whosoever hates a brother is a murderer. And you know that there's no murder have eternal life abiding in him, my brother and sister. Why do they want so many people to die? Because these people are murderer. Hallelujah. They're killing machine. And that's why they're using machine to kill people, nanotechnology. That's what nanotechnology is, machines. And these people that are full of hatred are looking forward to depopulate our society, my brother and sister, with these nanotechnology, full of hate, the murderers. Verse 16, hereby we perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for our brethren. Yes, I felt no comfortable when the Lord said, let's go out and send the last invitation, because I felt so comfortable in the wedding. But I also understand that because he's doing it because he loved his brothers and sisters, he loved those that stayed behind, I still also love them too and do what he's asking me to do. As he told Peter, follow me, I make a fish of men, he also said to me, follow him. And that word came to me so clear, my brother and sister. But who has the world, hallelujah, goods and sees his brother have needs and shut up his compassion of his heart from him? How dwell the love of God in him? And those are the days that are coming. Now that the world is going into a financial chaos, whatever we have to share it with our brothers and sisters. And I believe this is why the Lord showed me we're going to have a 5,000 people community over here. Because they're going to be, this coming, such a great need that a lot of people in America and the world don't see it, don't understand it yet, how serious it is. But when they see all the supermarket run out of food, when they see food prices go up to thousands of dollars, what used to be $20+, $1,000, now they're going to say, wow, we are in trouble. Because if the government now is only providing $400, just approve an executive order of $400 a week for some family, imagine when they have to pay $1,000 for a bag of food. That $400 will do nothing for them. Okay? It will do nothing. That's where we're heading right now. They're already saying food prices are doubling, tripling, and they don't know where it's going. And this is coming from those that are producing the food, packing in the food and sending it to the supermarket. There's very little food available in the world right now. And the chaos and the mess that is coming after all this is unthinkable. My brothers and sisters, some people don't want to even think about it. How are we going to keep having food in the days to come? God, the Lord, heaven never runs out of food. God never runs out of provision for his children. Provision will be available for us from our Father in heaven. Father in Torah told me this already. Provision, what he's going to make available for us. All we need to pray, fast, commit to him and his word, and he'll make it happen. We don't need to fear. We don't need to be afraid. Father God will make provision available for us in the day to come, my brother and sister. Father has given us already, God, a plan. God showed me a plan in his throne that he has for my life, my family. Put me in position to help many families. And I'm looking forward to that. And that's the community, 5,000 people. He's putting us in a position to help other families in the days to come. But we need to be wise. This cannot, my brother and sister, be us behaving like the foolish bride. We cannot behave like them. We cannot live and act like them and lukewarm lives. No. We all have to be committed to the Lord, praying and fasting and in the word. This is not the thing about one person, the pastor, the leader. Nonsense. Nonsense. The Lord has taught us better. This is about relationship with him. As we are with him committed, we stay committed. We stay seeking him. And as we come together, we'll be even more powerful. More powerful than what it is now. Because we'll see the supernatural power of God, divine provision, right in front of us in the day to come. My brother and sister. God already shown some of my brother and sister that they're going to pray for food, and food is going to appear in the days to come. Why? Because of the lack of food. They're going to pray for an empty pot of food, and it will refill. Lasagna, if you love it. Whatever food you desire, in a very second, my brother and sister, the pot will be full of that food. And how many pot we need, they will all be full of food immediately when some of my brothers and sisters will pray. The food will appear in a second, ready to eat, prepared by the angels, prepared by God for us. In 1 second, we're going to eat the most delicious food we ever ate when we supposedly had abundance. And the lack to come, we're going to eat better food. The bride is going to eat better food, the Lord, than what you had ate before. The only better food you're going to eat is the one in the wedding celebration. But in the days to come, you're going to eat better food. God will have better for you and I. It's in his word. He will have better for us, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. In John, hallelujah, chapter 21, I want you to see something. But in the morning, now how come? Jesus stood at the shore. But his disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus, hallelujah, then said Jesus unto them, children, have you any meat? And they answered him, no. No, he's asking them for something to eat. And what the Lord is doing is teaching them. Okay, learn of me, he said. We're learning of him. I want you to notice carefully how Jesus is taking care of his disciples. They've been all night long fishing. They're hungry, my brother and sister. And look what the Jesus does to them. He asked them for food. They said they had none. Then he said unto them, cast the net on the right, on the side of the boat, and ye shall find. They cast it for now, and they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fish. Okay? He now have provided for them enough food to eat and enough fish to sell, make money, have provision for their family, my brother and sister. Now look at this. My little children. No, let me keep reading. Verse 7. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, now watch what happens when you walk in love. When you walk in love, the mystery of God are revealed. You will know when it's Jesus, even if he looks to you like another person, like I did this morning. I knew it was Jesus. When you walk in the love of God, you will know God's mystery. God will make him known because you'll be one with him, one heart. Thank you, Lord. Watch. Therefore, the disciple who Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. This is John. Hallelujah. John. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, now Peter worked by faith, by the word. John walked in love. He also worked by the word too. He girded his fisher, called unto him because he was naked, and cast himself into the sea. Then the other disciple came in a little boat, for they were not far off the land, but it was worth 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fish. As soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coal there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. What did we read before? They were hungry. They needed food. They had caught nothing all night long. He provided an abundance of food for them to eat, abundance of fish. My brother insisted, abundant to sell and have enough money for the family. Now he's preparing a meal for them. You're going to eat the best with God. When you are hungry, but you're trusting in the Lord, he will prepare a meal for you. You're not expecting this meal. You're not expecting this divine provision. He will have it ready for you. He's going to have it ready. When this time comes, you're going to eat the better food when the worst come. Okay? And you're going to be rejoicing. But remember the parable of the 10 virgins. You have to live a wise life with Jesus. You have to be wise. Your decision must be wise. Thank you, Lord. And you're going to eat the best of the land, God said to Moses. In order for you to eat the best of the land, you're going to have to walk with him. As soon as they came coming to the land, they saw a fire coal there and fish laid thereof with bread. Where did this bread come from? They just saw him before. He had no bread. Supernatural provision. They saw him before. John recognized that it was Jesus. They didn't see on him no fish. They didn't see on him no bread. He didn't even have a bag that you can say in the story. Wait a minute, Brother Elby. He had a bag on his back, and that bag probably had bread and fish. No bag. Remember they saw him, no bag, nothing. Just his clothing. Order the sun across in the water. Fish is prepared. Bread is prepared. They're eating the best of the land, my brother and sister. Supernaturally. Down by God. Down by Jesus. Oh, he has so much for you. Thank you, Lord. He has so much for us. Hallelujah. As soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire called air and fish laid thereof and bread. This was supernatural, God providing to his disciple. My brother and sister, Jesus said unto them, bring us a fish we have now caught. Hallelujah. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fish. That was not just simple. He is the word, great fish. Okay? These was not your daily fishing fish that you buy in the market that, you know, Peter, who's been in the fishing life most of his life, saw great fish. It's difficult for a fisherman. And I used to do a lot of fishing, and I know exactly what I'm talking about, okay? Up north, I used to do a lot of fishing, and I know what a great fish is, okay? They had caught a lot of fish, but not great, regular, you know, basic, enough to make it. But he is the Lord. He is God providing the best for his children. Great fish means the best fish available for anyone to eat. God will provide you and I the best when we trust him, my brother and sister. Again, let me read it. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of, I should have said full of fish. Okay, normal fish. They caught fish, a lot of fish. God provided, okay. But these were not any kind of fish like you're thinking. This is God providing you and I the best of the land, my brother and sister. He has the best of the land for you and I. Thank you, Lord. Don't misunderstand your God. Your God is not cheap. Okay? There's no lack of with him. He'll provide you the best. Child, understand your father. Your father, God, will provide you the best. You like the best. He likes the best. He'll provide you the best. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. So, Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fish, 153. And though there were so many, yet the net was not broken. Here's the second miracle. Okay? If you caught all these large, developed fish, it's going to break. The second miracle is making this net strong enough that it will not break. So the miracle was completely great fish and a really pro net in order to keep a more, even better heavy duty. I say pro heavy duty is what I know. But this net, if it was probably pro, it would have broken or heavy duty, probably even broken. I have broken heavy-duty stuff. So it went beyond heavy-duty. It went beyond great. This net. He's given them a special net, a supernatural net that can hold this fish and not break. Believe me, you're not going to carry in any regular or heavy-duty net 150 fish. It's going to break. Okay? 153 fish. You're not going to carry. Especially if this fish are great fish, full developed fish. You're not going to carry healthy fish. You're not going to carry. It's going to break. This is a miracle of God. God not only provides the fish, he provides you the best things and when you can carry them and even when you can cook them, my brother and sister. What an awesome God. We serve. Thank you, Jesus. Yet the net was not broken. What a miracle. And Jesus said unto them, come and dine. Praise the Lord. Hear the invitation from God. God knows you're hungry. God knows your need. Hallelujah. He can see your need. You have tried your best, but you're fasting, you're praying, you're repenting, and you're asking him to provide to you. Now God provides you the best. Okay? He invites you to come and eat. I mean, there's nothing better than you so hungry, and someone said, will you come and eat? And then when you come and eat, have this great meal already prepared. It's not like, oh, well, join me in the kitchen so we can, you know, you're so hungry. And you come into your friend's house and your friend have all this stuff to be prepared, to be cooked and all that. That's going to probably take an hour or more if you have to do the salad and everything else. But this is not the case. The case here is that the fish were ready and the bread to be eaten, my brothers and sisters. It was cooked for them. Oh, what an awesome God we serve. Thank you, Jesus. You got to see the word, how it is, for what it is. The fish and the bread was ready. My brothers and sisters, if you take time to read the story, he says, come unto them and dine. You're not going to come and dine if the food is not prepared. You're going to come and dine when the food is prepared. So he's inviting you to come and eat because the food is prepared. He is providing you a cooked meal. Oh, and the best also. Not just any meal. I looked at our tables in heaven. I looked at that water preparation. Everything that was on those tables was the best. I never seen such a beautiful table adorned and prepared for a wedding. And the flower and everything else. It was unbelievable. If you have to prepare a wedding like that down here, it will cost you millions. Up a million. I mean, I've seen some of the millionaire weddings. They don't compare to this. Okay? Some of the billionaire weddings, they don't compare to this. I've seen them on TV. They don't come close to this that Jesus has for you. Why did he prepare a more than maybe trillions or beyond wedding for his bride? Because he loves her. What's special to him? Okay? And he's going all out now for you and I. He's spending all this. He said, this guy's spending all this money for this woman. He's spending all that for you and I. Thank you, Lord. Very, very expensive. If we want to call it a very, very expensive wedding for you and I, it's what he's getting for you and I. Why? Because we are special to him. Okay? He's taking care of us. Thank you, Lord. You are his child. You are his bride. And so he wants to give you the best. You're going to enjoy the best. I thank you, Lord. What an awesome God. So he said unto them, come and dine. And none of his disciples dare ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. They knew by now that it was the Lord. But I believe here they were so hungry. Fishing all night long, nothing to eat. And they finally get a prepared meal. They're eating. They got so much food in their mouth, they can't talk, my brothers and sisters. Because they've been all night long fishing. You got to see the condition. Verse 13. Jesus then came and took bread and gave it to them and fish likewise. Oh, that is incredible. This is incredible. Okay? They're eating better than any five-star hotel out there, a restaurant. Jesus himself is serving them the fish and the bread. Amazing. The Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is serving you. The best fish you ever ate, the best bread you ever ate, already cooked and prepared, he is serving you to eat. How can you miss the wedding? How can you? How can you? How dare you miss the wedding that's been prepared for you by the Son of God? I saw him in that wedding walking back and forth. And on his mind, it was like he was thinking, where are they? Why haven't they not come yet? Why have they not come yet walking back and forth? Oh, he loves his people so much. He wants to see everyone at his wedding. Come to my wedding. I saw him preaching to the people in the street. Come to my wedding. So prepared. There's a lot to eat, he says. Oh, it's a lot. Such a loving, caring God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This week, I was in prayer with him early in the week, and I asked him to reveal me things. He said, yes. Yeah. So a day passed, I think a day or two. The only thing I remember is that I kind of said, okay, let it be done in his timing. Praise the Lord, because he has said, yes, very clear. So I was just waiting. Praise the Lord. Praise you, God. And then when he did it this morning, he always leaves the best for last, that I know. Praise you, Lord. And having him talk to me face to face, I really needed that. I really needed that. I really needed that. It just brings me such a peace. And I not worry about anything when he talks to me face to face. It just goes away. And he knows I need it. Praise the Lord. Praise you, God. What an awesome God. Verse 13, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. Three times. Three times, my brother and sister, he came to them and showed himself. Are you a disciple? You say amen, he'll show himself to you. More than once. How many times, brother? More than once. This was, right here was the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. Not before, because some people make the excuse. Oh, you know, when he was on earth, people saw him because he was in a man body, blah, blah, blah. And they go about that, but nobody can say that, because now he's a spirit, and they give you that nonsense story. Nonsense. This is the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples that he was risen from the dead. Why do my people think I want to show myself to them? What do my words say, he says. I said in my word, I would. Why do they think I don't want to show myself to them, he says. Exactly. Believe his word. Thank you, Jesus. Believe his word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Believe his word. Thank you, Jesus. Walk by faith, not by sight. Verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, notice that the conversation with Peter happens after he ate, because he was very hungry. So God took care of his stomach first, his body, his health. Okay? Okay? So when after they had dined, Jesus said unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? And the Lord knew that Peter loved his brothers and sisters. He you know, they were together. When Peter said he was going fishing, if you go to the beginning of the story, they said that we will go with you, Peter. You know, the story began. So that's, you know, okay? Praise the Lord. Simon Peter said unto them, I am going fishing. Like some people say down here, I don't know what y'all going to do, but I'm going fishing. I don't know what y'all, what's your plan, where you're going, your agenda, but I'm going fishing. This is Peter. Praise the Lord. I'm going fishing. Huh? And now the Bible says, they said unto him, we also go with thee. They join on him. We'll go with you, Peter. I'm sure that was happy music to Peter. Oh, my brother and sister wants to come with me. And so there was no refusal. And they went forward and entered into the boat immediately at that night, and they caught nothing. Okay? Nothing. Some people said there was no lock. Nothing was happening. But that, you know, the thing was that God allows us to try. And a lot of time we have to fail, and we learn. That is it. Him we trust. His will we seek. His will be done in our life as it is in heaven and earth. We're earth. Earthly human. My brother and sister. And that's what it is. It's exactly what it is. That you love me, Simon, son of Jonah. Love thou me more than these. He said unto him, yes, Lord, yea, yes, Lord. Thou hast known that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my lamb. And this is an answer to me now, because I said it earlier. Because I was saying in that wedding, why has the Lord chosen me to go out with him to the people? Because I didn't want to come out, really, honestly. And I tried to convince the Lord that I didn't want to go out. He asked the Father for one more second. In other words, if this was a rapture, if this is a rapture, which it was, don't talk to me about going back to earth to evangelize, because it's not a part of my plan. But he wanted to go with me, so whatever the Lord invites me to, I'll go. He had invited me to hell to show me that I have to go with him. Anyway, I'll go with him. Thank you, Jesus. It's an awesome God. Obedient. Better than sacrifice. Verse 16. And he said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Said unto him, yes, Lord. Yea, Lord. Thou knowest that I love him, he said unto him. feed my sheep. Okay? Feed my lamb. This is the young one. Feed my sheep. This is the elder one, older one. Some are lamb, some are sheep. And we have to feed them. Feed them is the word he used. And how do we feed them? The word. Feed them the word. That's why when I saw some of my youngest brothers and sisters that were there at the wedding, I got really happy. The Lord wanted me to see that. You see, I'm bringing them for your program, and I'm bringing them in. Okay? Praise the Lord. And that gives me joy to see the Lord preparing people's life, bringing them in into the wedding. This is his work. Thank you, Lord. Gets me excited. See new faces into the wedding. Verse 17. He said unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, what about me? Peter was grieved. Peter was grieved. Because he said unto him a third time, love without me. He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Thank you, Lord. And this goes for every minister. Okay? Anyone who preaches his word. If you love the Lord, feed his sheep. Hallelujah. Feed God's sheep. Feed God's lamb, the babies, the young ones, those that are coming in. Those are the lambs. Feed them. I believe it's after a year they become sheep. A lamb becomes a sheep after a year. Feed them. Give them the word. It's relationship with Jesus. When you get to pray at your house and seek the Lord and spend time with him, that's exactly what he wants. Many Christians don't do that. It's all about their pastor. When they have a problem, they call the pastor. When they need prayer, they call the pastor. They pray 5 minutes or a minute, and that's it. That's their life. They don't spend time with the Lord. They don't. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. It's what he wants. Okay? Not what we want, what he wants. His will be done. Verily, verily, I said unto thee, when thou was young, thou girded thyself and walked whither thou wentest or wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou would not. Okay? And a lot of people say that this time when the Lord said that to Peter was because he will be arrested by the Romans, which it happens to him later on. And the Romans will carry him from prison to prison, you know, places to places. So his life began to be carried by the soldier. Other thing could be they broke his feet in jail. And he could not walk no more, and he had to be carried. He has to be carried. And so a lot of people say his life ended in Rome. He died in Rome. And died where he could not walk and not move. He has to be carried, my brother and sister. But other people say that in the last year of his ministry, they had to put him. He had to carry in a carriage with horses to carry him to go share the gospel. And he could not walk. But either way, if that was the case, that was a really difficult life. That was the last day of Peter, last years of Peter. Okay? And so it was very terrible for him in the last year. And so some people say that the Lord prophesied here the last day of Peter. And that's what the Lord's talking to him, they say. And so this book, he signifying, okay, by what's dead, he should glorify God. And he has spoken this. He said unto him, follow me. Okay, so he was talking about the dead of Peter, yes. The last day. Okay? The last day. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Brother Ellen, give me a second. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. If you're ready, Brother Edwin, I will open your microphone. Shalom, Brother Edwin.
Thank you, Lord.
Can you hear me?
Hello?
You, Lord.
Hello?
Yes. If you are listening through your cell phone, you're going to have to just listen to the cell phone. There's a delay between the cell phone and the computer.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So just listen to the cell phone. Well, shalom and welcome to the Lord Tower.
Thank you. I'm kind of scared. I've never been here.
It's okay. We all get nervous when we don't need to.
Okay.
Amen. How are you?
I'm fine.
I heard about the earthquake and I thought about you. What do you hear?
Earthquake in North Carolina. I hope your family's fine.
Yes. My wife told me about this morning that it was shaking here. She said the house was shaking. And wow, that's I believe about the time it happened this morning, I was in heaven. I was not around. So when I came back to my body, I was told what happened. So I didn't feel anything. I was having fun up there. Yes.
That's not like me. I experienced earthquake in Haiti. It was way worse.
You did?
Yes, I lived there.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm glad. I'm really glad, brother. Amen. So what is the Lord showing you or saying to you?
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, it was just random how I got called on tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I guess I'll just talk. Because if the Lord put me on here, then I guess he wants me to say something. So I'll just say whatever comes out of my heart and hope that God doesn't get angry at me and hope that it really comes out. So first thing I want to say is really about, I've been thinking recently about forgiveness, you know. Me and my parents and my family and my sister, we haven't had a good relationship in the sense that, you know, we've been through a lot. Ever since we came to this country, there's been a lot of hardship, a lot of, you know, we've been through so much. Sometimes we didn't even have our own house. We were sleeping with so many people and different houses, you know. We had to move. I didn't stay in school a lot. And so one thing that I noticed was always that our family would always fight each other, there were times it was physical, as bad as it is to say, but a lot of just emotional words. And it really, really hurt us growing up. And when you're growing up like this, you really tend to have a lot of unforgiveness towards people. It really just, just watching your family fight all day, just watching your dad say terrible things to your mom, it really brings this like unforgiveness towards them. And I think recently the Lord has been showing me that I need to like forgive them because they've noticed that they've done wrong and they need to change. And so it's just a small thing I've noticed.
If you only knew how important that is to the Lord, that is like one of the main messages he wants it out there, forgiveness, you know?
Yes.
So keep talking, brother. That's what the Lord wants.
Hold on. I'll be right back.
Thank you, Lord. I tell you that he knows exactly what people need to hear because If you go to Luke's, which I share on Luke's, I shared it a few weeks ago, and it's Luke 17, where the disciple asked the Lord to increase the faith, okay? He talks about verse 1, And he said, then he said unto his disciple, it is impossible that the offense will come. Okay? It's impossible that the offense will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. That's exactly what Brother Edwin is talking about. Okay? My brother and sister, that, you know, forgiving one another. And this is part of our growing, it is part of our growing in faith. Because you may be wondering, well, I'm asking the Lord to increase my faith. How come the Lord has not increased my faith? Well, if you have unforgiveness, you need to deal with that first. That's what it is. You see, notice how he opens with that, not knowing, but that's exactly what the Lord wants. Okay, and the Lord's been dealing with him on that. And now he can share, as he's being healed, he can share the process of what he's been going through. Okay, that's amazing. That is amazing how the Lord is always right. Well, other than you're there? Okay, he's still not back yet. So, verse 2. If it were better for him that a millstone were hung about his neck and cast into the sea, that he should cause one of his little ones to fall. He is the problem with unforgiveness. Unforgiveness in us will make other people fall. This is why we need to deal with unforgiveness. We need to forgive because it will make other people fall. And let's say you don't want people to fall. It's not really your thing. It's not. But because you have that unforgiveness, you're pushing them to fall. Okay? Because you have it. Okay? You have it and you haven't repented. You haven't confessed it. You haven't given it to the Lord. You really haven't asked the Lord to heal you from it. And you see how this young man said it, that the Lord's been working on him on this. It's very important. Very important. You can be an adult. You can be 80 years, 90 years of age and still have unforgiveness in you. Do you need to forgive? Yes, we do. We need to forgive. That's what the Lord showed me, that when we forgive, we grow. You want your faith to grow? Forgive. Unforgiveness stopping you from going, growing. The Lord showed that to me. In heaven, I was shocked. You can learn that down here. It's in his word, my brother and sister. Verse 3, take heed to yourself that if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. There you go. This is Jesus dealing with unforgiveness. And he dealt with his disciple with it, and he's dealing with us now. We are his disciple too. He's dealing with our unforgiveness. Take heed. Pay attention. Do stall. Take heed to yourself. Okay? It's to you that I'm talking to. If thy brother trespass against thee, okay, rebuke him and repent and forgive him. If he repent, notice how he puts an if the other person repents. Okay, notice, because here is where people get frustrated. You're looking forward to fix things for this person and forgive them, but the other person refuses to. You are trying. You're doing what God is asking you to do. In your part, you are amending the situation, but the other person doesn't want to. Well, what did Jesus say about the other person? If he repents, if the other person wants to, okay, that's where limitation is. He's saying if the person wants to, you do it. You amend the situation. You forgive him, okay? But if the other person walks away and says, I want nothing to do with you, or doesn't want to fix the situation, then it's not in your hand now. It's in the other person's hand. But you still forgive the person. You don't hold a grudge against the other person. You don't hold that unforgiveness in your heart. You give it to the Lord. The other person walks away. You let the unforgiveness go. You get healed from it. If it's a deep wound, some women that's been cheated by other men or abandoned by men, left behind by men, they feel abandoned, that can create unforgiveness. You know, cheat on, whatever the situation was, men cheat on by women, by wife, their wife, whatever. All that situation, you got to do your best to heal the situation. And if the person doesn't want to, well, it's not after you no more. Okay? You do what God is telling you to do. You do your part. And usually when you pray and you see God and God will make it possible. Even if the other person walks away from you and doesn't want to stay with you or whatever, God will make it possible for that to be healed. Okay? It'll make it possible for that to be healed. But then, after that is healed, okay, you're free. And that's what it's all about. You and I being healed, being free, my brother and sister. The devil, if you have unforgiveness, he knows. And he can throw those thoughts into your mind and accuse you. He'll use it against you and make you mad, make you angry, and make you sin even through it. So remember that. He doesn't read your thoughts. He can throw thoughts into your mind. And if he trespasses against thee 7 times, in a day, and 7 times in a day, turn unto thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. So here's the misunderstanding. Because some women or some men may say, so you mean if he's cheating on me 7 times or he's cheating on me 7 times, I should forgive him? And this is one of the questions that people have for a long time. Oh, so he can go out there and cheat on me, and then I have to wait as a good woman and forgive him, or as a good man and forgive her? Is that what you're telling me, Brother Elwin? Well, here's the thing. You have to try your best to keep that marriage. But if the other person goes out and do whatever, it's not after you no more. The person is going to have to deal with God. Even if the person turns back to you, you turn it to God. And God always fights for us. Here's the thing. A lot of people miss that with unbelief with what should be dealt by faith. A lot of relationships that have failed or that are broken are now being dealt with them by faith. They're being dealt with doubt and unbelief, fight, insult, court, lawyers, and so much more. My brother and sister, why is so many lawyers are getting rich in the last day? And I don't mean the good ones that are helping people, because I know a sister who's really helping people. But I'm talking about those millionaire, billionaire that love to be doing divorce. Divorce is their thing. I heard someone talking to a lawyer who specialized in divorce. And he said to her, why, you know, she said, what's your career? I'm a divorce lawyer. But this divorce lawyer like a specialist. And he says, well, why do you specialize in divorce? Oh, don't you see it so much divorce that happened? Why not? He said, but don't you see that you're being part of destroying marriage? You know? Oh, and the person got offended. It's true. Now lawyers are specializing on divorce. That's horrible. She said, you know how much money I make? Because a lot of people get a divorce all the time. But it's terrible. You're hurting people. Every time someone gets divorced, pain and hurt goes with it. Unforgiveness and so much more. And so what happened? These are human beings. These are God's children that are getting hurt. So you take it to the Lord. You say, well, you know what? I'm giving my marriage to the Lord. Before you sign those papers, make sure you take it in fasting and prayer. Don't be quick to sign the paper. Oh, no, you. Even if there is unfaithfulness in the divorce, okay, unfaithfulness. In my first divorce, I was married one before this one. She went out and cheated on me. But she left. She was so ashamed she left. She left me. I was so hurt. It was difficult in my life. I really had a lot of hurt that the Lord had to heal on me. Because I was a preacher. And we were just married for 1 year. Not even a year. And she left. And so it was so hard. But I made everything. I prayed. I fasted. I did everything as a son of God that I'm supposed to do to be in peace, to restore my marriage. I got to the point where I said to God that I didn't want to be in a marriage no more. Because she was going from a man to another man. And she didn't care. And so it was difficult. Because how can you restore a marriage when the second person is not willing and it just keeps cheating and cheating on and on? And so that was my situation. And so I really fasted and prayed to hear from God on what should I do. And so God says, I'm taking her out of your life. That's it. You don't have to deal with her no more. And I did got a divorce. But I didn't believe in divorce. I believe that marriage is forever. That's how I grew up. That's what I learned. So I was destroyed. I was broken. And I tried. I looked for her. I would sit with her and talk with her to really try to fix the marriage. But she didn't want to be married no more. She just wanted to be single and live her life however she wanted, you know. And so it was difficult, very difficult, my brother and sister, but I wanted to let her know that I, even though she did what she did, I was willing to forgive her. I was there. When she looked for me, I was there. She looked for me. We didn't went back to be a normal couple because I know what she was doing. What I looked for her was for her to repent. And when she told me that she was not repenting, then that she just wanted a life. And she asked me before she left and did what she did, she asked me to leave the church. She asked me to leave the ministry. Because God had called me into ministry. And she said that if I will leave the ministry and go over her and just hang out and drink and smoke and have a life, that we will go back and be normal. We will be normal. We will be together. I said, no. Now I serve God. God don't want me to be doing those things. So I chose the will of God on top of what she wanted, rejecting what she wanted. That got her mad. Got her really mad. You know? Oh, you're so committed. You just all about God. But yes. Yes. You know, still doing my duty as a husband, being there for her, doing what I'm supposed to. But she wanted me to lead the way of the Lord. I said, no. No, no, no. I chose God. And that's what the Bible said. You have to be willing to live wife, live family, live everything for his sake. And that's what I did, my brother and sister. Some people say, you marry a demon. That's what you marry. Well, I was young, you know, and there are things that I have learned serving God. And I stayed single many years before God brought someone into my life. So it was through praying and fasting. And going through it and being healed, I was still preaching and leading people to the Lord, to the kingdom. Winning soul for the kingdom, still going through the hurting, into the pain, and asking the Lord to heal me. He did. He's faithful. And the loneliness is terrible. I know some of them, my brothers and sisters are lonely now. They feel so terrible. Because some of us are not, I believe we're not made to be lonely. You know? And I've seen the Lord even marrying people in the millennium. Thousands of people, couples coming in. And I saw the Lord and the Holy Spirit marrying them. He was laying hand on them and marrying them and blessing them, blessing the marriage. I saw that in the millennium. So I understood that God loves marriage, love for people to be married, be together. He established marriage in the garden. And that's why when people are hurting marriage, it's a deep wound. Okay? It's a deep wound. So I believe everyone has to go. I apologize. Amen. Okay? It's a deep wound. Brother Ellen, your call dropped. I'm not sure if you have to go. But yes, it's a deep wound, my brother and sister. And this wound needs to be healed. The best thing you can do is fast and pray for it to be healed. Okay? And never deal with it with fear. Deal with it with faith. It's how you deal with your situation. And if you don't know how to have faith in that situation, abandoned, forsaken, cheated on, pray and fast about it. Don't make no decision. Pray and fast. And watch how the Lord will help you through it. The Lord will help you. The Lord will heal you through it. And the Lord will help you to make it through it. And once the Lord heals you and he'll begin to show you the way, he'll show you the way and much more with him. Okay? He will. And so, put it in the Lord's hand. Put it in the Lord's hand. You're not forsaken. You're not abandoned. You are loved and you are precious to the Lord. Okay? You are loved and you are precious and he takes care of you. Okay? The reason why you are kept is because the Lord is taking care of you. I'm abandoning you. I'm not forsaking you. He is with you. And showing me you in this wedding celebration gave me clear understanding of what the Lord is doing in our lives. He is amazing, you know. I remember when I said to my brothers and sisters last year, 2018, I remember, that I wanted to know, you know, and even 17, whether I was wasting my time coming on the Lord's hour and preaching his gospel and doing all this. You know, who's being changed? Who's really ready for the wedding and all that? And then the Lord took me into heaven and showed me thousands of people that he had changed and prepared to come home in the wedding through this program. And when he did, it was an eye-opening to me. I'm like, wow. Jesus was standing next to me and all these people he's showing me. You know, I'm using you to change people's lives. Get them ready to bring them here. I'm changing their lives, he says to me. To me, that was amazing. Amazing. And he just showed me yet again this morning how many people's life he's changing through this program, getting them ready for the rapture, their heart. And some of us here can testify. Sister Erica, if you want to come on and share your dream, we still got about an hour. If you want to come on, Sister Erica says she had a dream this morning. If you want to call in and share your dream. Amen. Anybody want to share a dream? Anybody else? My brothers and sisters in the chat room, any one of you want to come and share a dream? Let me give you the number to call in. Let me know it's you. Let me know your area code so we don't open it to people who want to come here and insult us. It happens sometimes. So people say, I just want to come on and insult Brother Elvis. You know, it's just, we're in a world that is full of darkness. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. There it goes. Oh, I'm so glad. There you go, sister. Amen. Amen. If you want to come in and share on the air, I will be welcome. So that will be recorded. People can hear. See, people are being healed, their heart and life, as we share. As you share, they will be healed. If you want to call in healing of the heart, area call. Just tell me your area code so I know what it is. It's a lot of people on the cell phone listening. So I see a lot of cell phone from the top to the bottom. And so I don't know who's who right now. Okay, and so that's why I've asked for the area code. So we can go ahead and open the microphone to those that are in the. Thank you, Lord. Let me see. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. What an awesome God. We serve. Praise you, Lord. Okay, who's calling in? I need to know. Thank you, Lord. Okay, Sister Erica. What's the area code? This browser somehow is just. Okay, let me see. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. 7909. Thank you, Lord. I don't see a Sister Erica. If you want to, hallelujah, call again. I don't. Okay, I think I see you. Okay. All right. Okay, yes.
Hi, Brother.
All right. Thank
Abby.
You, Lord. Shalom, sister. How are you?
Shalom. I'm good. I'm doing really good. Well, I wanted to, I guess, like, I have been praying so much, getting closer to God, you know, listening to your programs over and over, because every time I listen, I learn something new. And so I've just getting really, really close to God, and he's so awesome now. I don't see him, but, like, I can feel him, like he's there, and I'm actually starting to hear his voice. And so I've been praying. I prayed last week because I have fasted before, but have eaten, like, fruit and things, and it was really hard for me to go, like, a whole day without food or water or anything. But last week I was like, okay, I'm off from work Monday, and I want to fast, Lord. I don't want to have any coffee, because that's one thing, you know, I really enjoy coffee in the morning. So I was like, Lord, I need your help. I really want to fast. And Monday morning came, and I didn't even want anything. It was so wonderful. I was like, wow, thank you, Jesus. I don't want the coffee. And I was all day spending time with him, reading the word, and I asked him, when you said last week, show me, to ask him to show you. And that's what I've been doing. I asked the Lord, like, show me the wedding, show me the celebration, you know, show me my wedding garment. And so, like, after that, I had this really quick dream, and I was walking outside, and I look up into the sky, and the sky opened up, and it was, like, I knew it was Jesus, but I couldn't tell if it were thousands of angels or horses. I couldn't tell, but I knew that it was Jesus. And I started repenting right then and there. I started repenting, and I was like, Lord, forgive me, forgive me. And then I woke up. And then two nights ago, all of a sudden, it was like a really short dream where I saw the same person. I'm pretty sure it was Jesus. I just saw dark hair. And I looked up, I put my arms up, and I felt like I was being pulled. Like, it was the most wonderful feeling. I can't even explain it, but it was, like, really quick. And that feeling, I even called my mom to tell her about it. Like, it was so amazing. I felt like I was being transformed into my glorious body. And I woke up, and I was so excited. Like, I'm so happy because Jesus is so good. Like, he loves us so much. And when we seek him, when he sees our heart, how we try, you know, like, please take anything, any hindrance out of, you know, anything keeping me from hearing your voice. And like a month ago, he told me I was going through things, and he told me I'm refining you. So I know that the difficult time that I was going through, I know it was him bringing me closer to my breakthrough, you know, leading me to what he wants me to do. I have dreams that he's leading me to people, like I tell them, repeat after me, Jesus, come into my heart. Like, and I don't know, for some reason he's been preparing me, and I know that he has plans for me some way, but I just, like, he's so amazing, and I just want to tell the whole world. Also, the other day I woke up, you know, with a itchy, scratchy throat. Like, I had it all night, and I felt a little feverish, and I was praying. I was like, Lord, I come against this in the name of Jesus, spirit of infirmity, you know, I bind you in Jesus' name. And then that morning, I was getting ready for work, and I heard, be thou made whole. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. Like, I don't have the COVID, you know. I was worried, you know, a little bit. But, you know, having faith and praying and asking, like, I know that no matter what I'm going through, no matter what happens, like, he's there. And no matter what you go through, you rejoice and trust him. And, like, he's just so amazing. He's so amazing.
Yes. Amen.
Do you see what someone wrote to you, Sister Victory Ryder wrote to you in the chat room?
Oh. That's beautiful. Thank you, sister.
That's encouraging so word. Yes. So an encouraging word. It's incredible. How merciful and good our God is.
I also forgot to tell you, last week when you were talking about the sister that had contacted you about eating meat, that God told her to stop eating meat. A few months ago, I had a dream, and it was a pastor lady that the church that I used to go to. In my dream, she called me and said that to stop eating meat. And I didn't think anything of it. I wasn't sure, you know, if it was God or not. But then when last week when you were saying that the sister, you know, like she was still eating meat, and you were like, that's disobedience to God, and he told you. So I believe that God wants me to stop eating meat, and I have for like a week now, and then I fasted, and then that's when I had this revelation of my body being transformed into my glorious body. So I believe that by being obedient, he's giving me the desires of my heart, which is to show me things, you know, and letting me hear his voice. And I just want to keep learning more and more of him.
Amen. And ask him, when you feel like you really want to eat meat, just ask him to give you the strength to help you to stay off it. And you may fall into it, but no. Ask him to repent and ask him to help you to stay and obedient, because that happens to a lot of people. When they try things like this, they'll fall into the temptation of eating again meat, and then they feel so bad, and they say, oh, I'm not going to do this. And no, never give up on God. God will never give up on you. It's important that you continue to repent and seek the Lord and ask the Lord to help you through the process. Very, very important. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
And no matter how many, like, I tell my family members, like, I told, you know, my son about my dream about me seeing Jesus in the sky, and he's like, that's because you're always thinking about it, you know, and they're telling me that they're worried about me, but all I do is, like, I pray for them, because if they only knew, you know, the feeling, the peace, the joy, like, I just continue to pray for them.
Yes. That's what we need to do, my brother and sister. Pray for those that don't know the Lord, and that even if they're not ready now, that the Lord will save them in the great tribulation, because they're going to have to run for their lives very soon. As soon as the bride disappears, these people down here are running for their lives. The government, the New World Agenda is to depopulate people. And you know, people are not ready for the coronavirus. They're not ready for the second virus. They're not ready for the stock market to fall and the government to fall and all that. But it's coming. Only the bride is going to make it to what is coming. Everything else is going to fall. You know, and we need the Lord to protect us in the days to come. This economy is brittle right now. It's going to break. It's going to come down. And when it does, it's not going to get up as they think. 2008, God have mercy. You know, and but this time when the Lord says it's going to fall, it's going to fall. And here's the problem. People are not ready. Now God's saying it's going to fall. And people are not ready. His word cannot return back void. It will fall. And when it does, people not being ready, it's going to be horrible. We got the famine coming in 22. And we're not far from 22. We're a year and a half now. We're close. And God's giving practically this nation, the world, a year and a half to prepare for the famine, to see the economy fall and not being able to do anything for you and your family. That's going to be terrible. But God's been telling us, prepare, prepare, my children. Economy is going to fall. And when he says so, we need to be obedient. Very important. Go ahead, Sister Erica.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's right. We have to be prepared. Like, I have been, recently I've been buying, like, one of my bedrooms looks like a food bank. I just, you know, I don't know exactly when or what's coming, but the Lord has been wanting us to prepare. So that, you know, every time I can, I buy a little extra food and try and store it.
Yes, that's important. Save up on food. Get you know, I know that the food that will last 5 years is very expensive. If I look into it, and it's very hard to really have a lot of it. But I've been storing food in buckets, sealed buckets from Home Depot or Lowe's. I wash them very well with detergent and water, and I really clean them and dry them inside with paper towel. And then after I wash them very well, then I put in the food there. And if you save out dried beans, that will last you a year or more. Rice, there's a lot of things you can save. Spaghetti, a lot of things you can save for in a year in a sealed container.
Yes, that's what I need to do is get the containers.
Yes. Yeah, about $5 in Lowe's and Home Depot. And one container can hold up to, I believe it's almost 40 pounds of rice, even sugar. You can store up in sugar, wild brown sugar. It's a lot of things you can store up on pasta. Yes. And really save those things for the time to come.
I was watching this video, a video of this prepper, and he was actually putting, like, rice and beans and things in different containers and then put it in another bucket and burying it underground and saving it there.
Yes.
That's people use a different method. They try different methods because we had a lot of food go bad on us. And we were very disappointed. But again, you know, I love it that some people gave us advice on how not to allow it to go bad. If you're storing food for about a year or less, start you consuming the food and then begin to store it on the new food that you're purchasing. And that will really help you to always have storage food, and then whatever food you're consuming the one that you've been storing for months. And you always have food backup when you do that. Then you have food for your family. You know, I started doing that on me. I bought an extra fridge, large fridge, where I can store a lot of meat. And that worked for a while. Notice a lot of meat started going bad. So I started, since I don't eat meat, only my wife and children, I started cooking it outside for my dog. And so a lot of the food that was almost about to go bad started cooking it for my dog. And so he's happy. Okay. You know, even for my chicken, I gave my chicken meat. I gave my chicken. Joke with my son. I gave my chicken. And they gave me egg and they gave me chicken. Go ahead.
About is fish included in that? do you eat fish?
What do you mean? No, yeah, I eat fish. Yeah, fish is okay.
Oh, okay.
Remember the Lord?
Because I wasn't.
The Lord ate feet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Because I wasn't sure if that was part of it.
You can find the Lord eating fish, but you will not find him eating meat in the Bible. Okay.
Oh.
And a lot when the Bible says meat is food, not me as we say meat necessarily, but fish, you'll find the Lord eating fish. He gave his disciples fish and bread. I love bread too. Fish and bread. So I eat what the Lord ate when he was on earth. You know, you never find him eating meat. You find him eating fish. Okay? And a lot of people call fish meat, but it's not necessarily. Science cannot say it is. It looks like it can be compared to, but it's not. Because it tastes different, and fish doesn't contain what beef and chicken has. Totally different. Okay, so it's totally until the Lord ate fish. So that's...
Oh, okay.
And actually, when the Bible says that John ate locusts, that some people say crayfish is what he ate. It's because I had a brother who really, it really bugged him to want him to really find out if it was locust, wild locust, as we read in the Word. So he really studied this deep as much as he could in his crayfish. That area where John was in the wilderness, he said there was a lot of crayfish, not the locust we think it is. You know, it was crayfish. That was, and so I was a new information for me. You know?
Yeah, because I've seen people eating, like on videos, eating locusts, like they cook it.
Mm-hmm. In China they do, yeah. But no, again, it was according to what he studied, he really, as a Christian, wanted to know if it was. And see, that's the thing. If you want to know, of course we can pray and ask the Lord. Okay?
Oh.
Yes. Sister said that they call it crayfish in the South. Okay?
Oh.
But it's not the locust we know today that we think he ate. No. And if you will ask a Jewish, like if you go to Israel, okay, and you ask the rabbi, why would it be that John would eat? And then they will say, if he was a rabbi, okay, if he was a rabbi, there was no way he would have ate wild locusts, because that in the Torah, in the Old Testament, God told them not to eat those things. They were unclean. right? They were unclean. So there was no way possible he would have ate, you know, the locust we think he ate. He ate crayfish.
Oh, okay.
Okay. No rabbi. Yeah, no rabbi. And so this is why a lot of the Jewish people say a lot of the Christians don't have that rabbinic information, that rabbinic knowledge of the Bible, because they don't study the word like we study in Israel. Okay? And because you got to go by what is clean and unclean. And that's basically why John was leading himself by the Old Testament. Remember Jesus, when he was little, he went to the temple and learned the Torah. He learned the Bible in the temple. And so John, the same. They learned Bible. They learned Torah, Old Testament, the law of Moses. So they knew what was clean and unclean. Okay? And a lot of people, because Jesus quotes the Bible a lot, Isaiah and the Bible, Moses, they think he's doing it because he was, some people say, oh, he did it because he was God. Well, he did it also because he knew what it was. He knew the Bible. He learned it at the temple. It's a custom of the Jewish people. You know, that's why some of the Christians that are Jewish, they're using that knowledge now to evangelize the Jewish people. Because the Jewish people, you cannot evangelize them on theory. You can only evangelize them on facts, you know?
Yes.
And the facts of the Bible, they learned through Moses. So if you want to bring a Jewish person to Jesus now, you better have the knowledge of the law of Moses, of the Old Testament, Moses and the prophet, very well, and have the even the history of it. The reason why the Jewish people studied the history a lot of the Bible and of the different prophets, and because the Word of God, even the Word of God says it, is perfect. In other words, everything has a meaning in the Bible, including names. You know that your name, according to the Jewish tradition Bible, your name will tell, if you tell a rabbi your name that has the knowledge of the Bible very well, okay, he will tell you of the things that you will go through in your whole life just by you telling him his name. And you say, how can this be? Well, study Jacob, Leah, and Rachel. How do they name their children? Didn't they name their children according to what they went through? According to what was happening in their life, didn't they name their children according to that?
Yes.
And they say that God gave them that child, but they name them according to what they were going through in life, or what they went through in life, knowing that God is in control of our lives, and that whatever you're going to go through in life is all enclosed in your name. Do you know the meaning of your name, Sister Erica?
No, I don't.
You got to study it then, according to the Bible. Mm-hmm. Your name, if you only study your name, like my name means a gift from God. But in that gift that God told my father he was giving, he said that I will be a minister, that I will preach the gospel. And all that is enclosed in my name. Just enclosed in my name, my whole ministry, my whole life. When Jesus came to me and I asked him to reveal to me the meaning of my life, he says that the only reason why I was born, he says, to preach his gospel. He says, that's enclosed in my name. The meaning of my name is that I will be a preacher of his gospel. He told me that was what my name means.
So how do I find out what Erica means?
Your name is in the Bible. And if it's not in the Bible, if it's not in the Bible, it's still in history of the Bible. It's in the history of the Bible. If it's not in the Bible, it's in the history of the Bible. Okay? Some people name are Elisa, which is short to Elizabeth. And the list of it is in the Bible. And some people name my short to Elisa. Okay, so some names are half of other name in the Bible. Okay? So you only get half of the other person's blessing. You can start at the meaning. My sister said that her name, full name, Pure King Heart. But see, if you study your name in Hebrew, when you study king, and this can take 3 hours me just explaining this, and I will have to look it up and show you, read it to you, and then read to you, according to the Jewish tradition, what your name means, okay? And you'll find out that if your name means king pure, okay, then your name means that you are a lamb. And that you will go through suffering and pain. That, remember, Jesus said that if they did that to him, they will do that also to you. So you, that means if your name is, then your name is a lamb. King, you are a lamb. Because talking about he being a king, he's also a lamb. And lamb is tender. A lamb needs to be taken care of by someone. Okay?
Yeah.
And there's so much to learn about that. And then king is a leadership, someone in leadership to lead other people. So God has put you, and that's when you come into your full ministry. You'll be a leadership to lead other people. Okay? And so there's so much more to learn from that just alone. Okay? Sister said her name means son, sing, victorious, teacher. And so that's okay. So a song, that means that you're going to find joy in worshiping God, sister, healing of the heart. Okay? You're going to find your joy praising God. Okay? And you may come from the tribe of Judah, sister. If your name is Song, it means that your tribe belongs to Judah. Judah came with the one who led the worship. And that's another thing. Your name shows you that you come from which tribe. If you are a king, if you're naming a king, you probably came from the tribe of David. I forget right now tribe of David. Victor O'Reilly, yeah. The tribe
is
David.
Yeah, I wonder what tribe I'm from.
Yeah, that's in the Bible too. It will show your name will show you from which tribe you came also. That means that the father of the tribe is your grand-grandfather, okay?
Wow.
And you will know if you came from Judah, Benjamin, Simon, and all of them. It will really show you which tribe you came from. Your name will show you that in the Bible. And it has very significant meaning. Even on what you're going through right now, it's in your name. It's under that tribe, and it's in the Bible, because yes, they were the tribe with 12 brothers, the sons of Jacob, but they had a sister, Dinah. Dinah was not a tribe, per se. Okay, but your name can be enclosed, being sister to her, so you might get even some of the things that happens to her. You know, in regard to that was your sister. And there were one of the brothers who took banking against Joseph more than any, the one that got arrested in Egypt when Joseph went, when they finally went back to Egypt, his brother, last time they went. I forget if it was Simon. One of the older of the tribe, I forget his name, was the one who stayed behind, who really took avenging, who Joseph really had a grudge against him because he was very severe with Joseph. And we're studying Genesis. Okay? If you are his granddaughter, you can see why you're holding a grudge against someone. Are you holding a grudge against your ex-husband, your ex-wife, whoever it is, and you're finding a hard time forgetting that person, or are you getting angry quickly? One of Joseph's brothers got angry quickly with Joseph. And that could be your grandfather. Generational line. You know? And so you see a lot of people behaving like that, like those people in the Bible. And it's because that those are the grandparents. They come from that tribe. The generational line is that tribe, my brother and sister. That's amazing. That's just, everything is in the Word. There are books, especially in Israel and in France, they call that place in France where they have all those books where you can trace your generational line. They trace last name all the way back to your generational line. And there are rabbis who are leaders in these things that really, and there are books that will help people a lot. There are Jewish books with the meanings of names, okay? And they're very important, as Sister said, to the Jewish people. And I have researched some of that, and I've been amazed at the meaning and the significance, and then Rabbi used it to explain a lot of people's behavior. Why do people behave the way they behave? And when they follow the linear, they can see it, the generational line, where it comes from, the meaning, the significance, the things that people go through. Your name can tell you the things that you've gone through and the things you're going to go through in life. And you can deny and say, well, I'm not going to go through that and all that. And then find yourself going through it, even when you refuse to. You know, and Rabbi say, you cannot escape your future. You know?
That's
so
amazing.
Incredible. Yeah, it is. I always get blown out of my mind. Yes. Yes, yes. Everything is in the Word. That's why Rabbi said that a lot of evangelicals don't really study the Word so deep to know that a lot of the things they talk about, they don't really have that deep, profound knowledge of the Word. Because these people, there you go. See, she said she had a dream not long ago where a messenger told her that she was a king, and I ran away because I was scared. Okay? And so that has a significance. That has a meaning. And you can look that up in the Bible and search it. Even what you're going through right now, who do you relate to in the Bible? And as you research it, you'll begin to find things that... Brother Ben Denoon the other day gave a really good teaching in regard to Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? Because why you told him that you were the wrong person is because you didn't have the knowledge. Hey, what did God say? My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what it says. And perish is, it's something that is going to perish is something that is going to go bad. But it's already going bad. If it's going to perish, it's already going bad. Mm-hmm. You know? Because the Bible is life, you put life in something that is dead, what happens? Comes alive, right? Gives a life. The Word of God gives a life when we study it. You know that? You know that if you're sick and you study the Bible, just studying the Bible, I heard testimony of people being healed just studying the Bible. Not praying, studying the Bible and confessing it. Like, oh, you're reading the Bible aloud to yourself. And some people have felt the power of God just reading the Bible, healing them. You can be wounded by someone, and you're reading the Bible, and you get healed instantly. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Wow. Yeah, I've heard it helped with some people's addictions from reading the Bible, and they would get delivered from their addictions.
Yes. Sister Michelle, your name may not be in the Bible per se, but it's in the history of the Bible. Okay, there's a Bible and there's a history of the Bible. Okay, and if I can show you some of the history of the Bible, in regard to a lot of the king that reigned, that we have very few information about them. Okay, very few information about it, about the king. The Bible tells you in the Bible about other books where it's written about them. That is the history of the Bible. Other books written about the Bible, about other kings, other people. Okay? You may not get the name of their family, of the children, in the Bible, but there are other books about them, which is called the history of the Bible, which you can read about them, which were men and women of God. Okay? Very important. Very, very important. Okay? Being rich and blessed and friend. Amen. Amen. That's it. And now fear, you know, when you fear, you sin. Being afraid, you sin. Actually, open the door for the enemy. And the enemy is the only one who puts fear in our life. We're not born with fear. I can show you that, let's say my son Joshua was not afraid of darkness. You can send him from the room to the kitchen to get anything in total darkness. And he will go and get it and bring it back to you. But when the kid began to teach him fear, monster and stuff like that, he learned fear. And now he's afraid. He will not go in the darkness to the kitchen. Okay? But before he learned fear, he was not afraid. You learn fear. And that's why fear is a sin. Because it's something you allow into your life. It's not something you're born with it. Okay?
Like worry.
Yes. Something you bring into your life, but it's not something God put in your life. No, you put it yourself, out of yourself into your life. So that's why you repent fear. Ask the Lord to fear the enemy in your life. You fast. Say, Lord, take this fear, the root of this fear. I break the root of this fear. Lord, take this fear out of my life in Jesus' name. You begin to fast and pray to ask the Lord, take that fear out of you. You know, the majority of women are afraid of serpent, right? Can you agree with that, Sister Erica, with me?
What was that, the women, what?
The majority of women, like large percentage of the women, are afraid of snake, serpent, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay, why do some women can live with a serpent, sleep in their bed with a serpent, and call in their best friend a pet? And not afraid of them. How is that possible? Because they never learn to be afraid of serpent. From child, their parent bought them a little snake. And they had it as a pet. And they grew up.
Okay, yes.
And they never been afraid of it. But why is the majority of women afraid of serpent? When some women have them as a pet and they love them, and they say it's the best pet, the most friendly pet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is, if you learn fear, okay, if you learn fear, let's say you hate snakes. You know, remember Sister Carla sharing her testimony that why do we kill, like, mouse, animal like that? Why do we kill insect and mouse? And you know why do we do it? Because of fear. Because of fear, the Lord says. Like, you can rebuke them. You can ask the Lord that they be out of your house, be out of your life. And the Lord will keep them away. And you don't have to kill them. You know? And so much more. We do things out of fear, mostly. Not out of faith, out of fear. Okay? And so, that is why, you know, if let's say I'm teaching my dog not to hurt my chicken, and he tried his best not to hurt them. He'll grab them. He'll hold them down for me when they run off. And you see him trying his best. Why? Usually dogs kill chickens and eat them. But he can chase them and grab them and not really kill them. Why? Because you got to teach. You train them. You teach them. It's the same thing as you teach yourself. God teaches you through his word not to be afraid, not to fear, and so much more. And you can fast and pray, and you can rebuke that fear, and it would not be there. It would not be there. You know? It's just the way people are growing up.
He gives us authority over it.
Yes, he does. You know? And they say he said her dog killed Miles, right? Well, you can teach your dog to be friend with Miles, and it will not hurt the mouse. They will eat together in the same boat, and they will not harm each other. And you can watch people online on YouTube, mouse, dog playing with mouse, and they don't hurt them at all. So we can teach our animal to be aggressive and to do things that are not normal, they're not supposed to do, you know? Now, this is one thing about Noah, that the history teaches you that Noah loved animal. If you ask the rabbi about Noah and animal, why did God told Noah to go 7 pair out of each animal? Okay? And it'll explain to you because he loved animal. And he will not hurt any animal. Noah was one of the persons that loved animal and will not hurt them at all. Okay? And you know that God loved that about Noah? God loved how Noah felt about his creation because God created animal. And we are not to be killing them or hurting them for fun like people do. It's a lot of people that kill dogs and cats for fun. And there's a lot of people that really care for them. And that perceives that as evil and fear. Fear allows the open to the enemy, and the enemy uses that for people to harm animals. So when I learned about what's been happening, yeah, the snake got cursed because the devil used a snake to deceive Adam and Eve. So now the snake was a tool of evil, a tool of evil. So God had to curse that animal. God had to curse it. But see, it's the thing. Because God cursed the snake, right? It doesn't mean that God says, well, I don't want to see snake ever in my land. If you read about the millennium, no snake, no animal will hurt in my holy land, God says. That means we're going to have snake in the millennium. We're going to have snake in the millennium. And they're not going to hurt us. But you know, because you're not going to have fear like you have now a snake, guess what? Snake are going to be your pet if you want to. You can kiss them in the mouth and play with them all day long if you want to. And they're not going to hurt you no more. Okay? So think about that. Just think about that. They're not going to hurt in my holy mountain. That means we're going to have them in his holy mountain. And they're not going to harm you at all. You can kiss them in the mouth. They're not going to harm you at all. She can go around your neck and play with you. All she wants is she's not going to hurt you, my brother and sister. Why? Because you're not going to have fear. You are not going to be afraid. And you know what fear comes out of? Who? Satan. His demons. They are the ones that have put all this fear. Because when God created snake, they've been harmless since the beginning. But because the devil brought all this evil on the earth, now they can harm people and harm one another. No, it's terrible. It is terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. That's why when I was in heaven and I saw this guy playing with a lion, bigger than any lion seen down here. And I got into the Bronx Zoo, Boston. I got into so many zoos. I like to take my son to different state zoos so they can see the animal. And I've been close to lion. And I tell you, it's a terrifying idea to be close to a lion. And in heaven, when I was in heaven, I was kind of like, oops, big lion. I saw right in front of me. When I noticed him, I wanted to run away, but there's no fear in heaven. And the guy that was, the brother that was playing with the animal in heaven says, fear not. He will not harm you at all. Okay? And I think he even quoted the Bible to me too, as he was telling me this. And I said, okay. And he was petting him, putting his mouth, entire hand into his mouth. If he does it here in Africa, the lion will tear him apart. Not in heaven. There's no fear. No fear at all, my brothers and sisters. It is the fear that we have down here that has given humanity all this evil to harm on them and do all these things. But now we're in the Lord, and we're not supposed to be the slave now in the Lord. We can rebuke these things and pray these things away from our heart and life. Not supposed to be the same like the world. The peace he gives is not like the world gives. Everything we see from the Lord is not like the world no more. Okay? There's a lot of area in our life that we need to learn from the Lord learn of him who is meek and humble. You know, Jesus didn't have to kill any animals because he, no, my brother and sister, always humble and meek and never afraid of anything. He was never afraid. His disciples were afraid of the Romans, this and that. The Lord was walking like he was walking in heaven, you know, no fear, no fear. And so we got to be the same. Let the disciple be like his master. You got to get there, either by bus or by train, like Brother John said. We got to get there, my brother and sister, and be like the Lord. Really seek to be humble like him and have no fear at all. The Lord can take all that fear away from you. You confess it and you repent and say, Lord, take all fear. I don't want to be afraid. No, Lord, take the rule of fear from my heart and my life. It's really, when fear gets into you, it gets engraved into your heart. It's like you have a lot of leg. It goes into your heart and plants itself like a tree into your heart. And all the roots are going right through your heart, all the fear. But you, the Lord can root it out. Got the Holy Spirit in you. You got the person of Jesus in you. He can root it out by the root out of your life where you have no fear. Hallelujah. Out of your heart of your life. And I have to live that way. The Lord can change that in you. You know, and when he does, you look back and say, how do I have that in my life and live normal? You know, it's impossible to be normal when you have something in you that is not of God. Because it's not of God. The fear of the devil is not of God, and it gets engraved into a heart. It gets planted into a heart, and it grows. Roots go everywhere in our heart and life. And when we talk and we think about it, it's just there. It's just there. No. It's to be out of us. The day I confessed fear of the devil in my heart, the peace that I began to get from the Lord was overwhelming peace. I was stunned that I had so much fear in my life. It just, we think it's normal. We think it's okay. When it's not normal, it's not okay. No, it's not, my brother and sister. He can change us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes, it's that fear. That fear opens the door to the enemy. And you're given an inch. He'll take the whole body. You know, you got to really get with the Lord about this. Get one-on-one with Jesus in your life. Really get with him to take that away. Confess it, repent it, fast pray, and he'll take it out of you. The disciples were like that. Remember when Jesus got arrested? They all ran and hid themselves, you know? And they were afraid so much. So much. They were hiding. The women had to go to the tomb. Mary and the other Mary went to the tomb. So what happened with them? They were hiding. Like hiding in a closet, hiding. Hallelujah. But Mary and the other Mary, Mary loved Jesus. She was the mother. She was not afraid. The other Mary washed his feet. Heard when he said that on the third day he would resurrect again. Boldly went to the tomb looking for his body. Where have you put him? He said to the angel. Where have you put his body? Tell us. And when he told him that he has resurrected, you know, that awesome. The peace and joy. I'm telling you, as a Christian sister and brother, please go to the Lord to take the fear out of you by the root, that nothing of the fear will stay in you. And when he gives you just peace and no fear, when you know you sin, when you allow fear into your life, oh, man, or you open the door to the enemy when you allow fear. Once he takes that out of your heart, you are going to be a changed woman, a changed man. You, I mean, telling you, the peace you're going to have every day. Because if you have no fear, you have peace every day. Not a day peace, a day no. A day yes. Because a lot of you, it's a day peace, a day fear. All day fear in a few minutes of peace. No. Your Christian life, okay? Your Christian life. Look at all the verses. Go on BibleGateway.com. Look up all the verses fear. About fear. Look them
I
up.
I have some here.
Go ahead, sister. Read them
I
before
have, we get a few minutes. Okay, I have 2 Timothy 2:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And then there's another one, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me.
Amen. There you go.
There you go.
I say that a lot.
You can write fear, and there are hundreds of verses about fear in the Bible. And you know, take those verses to heart. And really from your heart, deeply from your heart, fast and pray that the Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, sister. Thank you. That
thank
the Lord
you,
would
sister.
Take all the fear from your heart. It could be fear of a man, fear of a woman, fear of animal, fear of serpent, fear of cockroach, fear of spider. Whatever fear you have, ask the Lord to take all that fear away. And when he takes it out, oh, you will walk in such a peace and love and kindness. And now once the fear goes and it's not there no more, you're different. Okay, you're different. Sister Erica, we got a few minutes. You want to pray for the brothers and sisters before we go?
Okay. Father God, thank you for us getting together today on the Lord's Hour. Father God, thank you for speaking to us. And thank you for teaching us and loving us so much that you give Brother LV revelations to tell us. Lord God, we ask that you be with us, that you strengthen us, that you be in our lives every single day, and that you help us overcome this fear that only by you we can do, because with you nothing is impossible, Lord. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Yes, Lord.
Well, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord kiss you. May the Lord make his face upon you. May the Lord Jesus give you his shalom. Do not miss our Bible study on Tuesday. That the Lord will give us more revelation. Yes, shalom to each of my sister and brother in Christ. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Thank you, Sister Erica. Thank you, everyone. May the Lord continue to bless each of you. Shalom, shalom.
Are you ready for the rapture? Are you ready for him now? Should he come in your lifetime? Are you ready? Are you ready for the rapture? Are you ready for his return? Are you ready for the rapture? Are you ready for the rapture? He will come like a thief in the night. Are you ready for the rapture? Are you ready for his return? 'Cause it could happen any day. Are you ready for the rapture? Are you ready for him now? Are you ready? Are you ready for the rapture of his church? Are you ready for the rapture? He could come any day. Are you ready for him now, dear friend? Are you ready for the rapture? Are you ready for the rapture? Are you ready for him now? Are you ready for the rapture? Hallelujah, he's coming soon. Are you ready for the rapture? Are you ready for him now? Are you ready? Are you ready? are you ready for him now? Are you ready for the rapture? Are you ready for him now? Are you ready for the rapture? Are you looking for him on the clouds? Are you ready for the rapture? Are you ready for him now? Are you ready?